darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, obviously, that voice is irreplaceable, but I'm going to do my very best today. This is E.W. Jackson, sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Great to be with you. And as always, thank you all for your prayers, your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting American Family Association and American Family Radio in all that God has called us to do. We couldn't do what we do without your help, without your support. So thank you very, very much. Well, look, we got a lot to talk about today. First, I want to make you all aware of the fact that this is a very special time for me because I'm in the middle of something called the Stand 76 Standathon. I started to say Share-a-thon because I'm so accustomed to doing Share-a-thons for American Family Radio. But the Project 76 Standathon, which goes from July 4th to September 17th, which, believe it or not, is exactly 76 days, which is interesting, isn't it? If you count July 4th to September 17th, that's 76 days. The Constitution was passed on the 17th of September of 1787, 76 days after the date that the Declaration was signed, 1776. So we've taken these 76 days and turned it into a time of consecration, of prayer for purpose and for prosperity for our country and for the work that we're trying to do in helping to preserve our country. So Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I really believe that that's the key to why America has become the most successful nation in the history of mankind. Why, at 4.25% of the population of the world, we have the overwhelming share of the wealth, the highest standard of living, the inventions, the innovations that have really been a blessing to the entire world have overwhelmingly come from the United States of America. That's not an accident. I really believe that that's the blessing of Almighty God, that we are a providential nation and that we as Christians particularly should love and cherish this country as a gift from Almighty God. And that is exactly the way it ought to be viewed. Now, those who have rejected God and rebellion against him, by and large, are people who don't appreciate the country very much, by and large, because they don't see anything sacred. They don't see anything providential. They don't even see anything to be grateful for about this country. So they're busy carping and complaining and really sounding the note of destruction for America. Here's a statement we put out when we established Project 76, when the Lord gave me that revelation of those 76 days. We were founded, by the way, STAND was founded on July 4th of 2009, that's 16 years ago, to really, and part of the purpose was to ask our fellow citizens to join us in the great quest to preserve this wonderful nation. So while America haters burn our flag and denounce our country and call us racist and shout death to America, that those of us who understand what America represents continue to love our country, honor our flag, and we're going to fight to unify this country as one nation under God. And so we're asking for your prayers and for the prayers of all people of faith across this country for America's continued spiritual, moral, and of course, economic success as well. Now, our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and we can do no less. We need to do exactly the same thing. The founding principle that liberty and rights come from God, not government, set us apart as an exceptional nation. And we're being told by historians that 250 years is about the time when great nations like ours collapse or go into decline. And they pose the question for us whether America will indeed fulfill her divine destiny or descend into oblivion. And I really believe that with the help of God, we're going to fulfill our destiny. That's the name of our organization, staying true to America's national destiny. So we want to restore the family from the ravages of sexual promiscuity and abortion and the LGBTQ agenda and radical feminism. We want to reinstill respect for law enforcement and the rule of law, which protect us and protect our communities from crime and chaos. We want to create educational choice so every parent and child can escape the indoctrination camps which these government schools have become. You know, God showed us this tremendous connection between July 4th and September 17th. I think it's a reminder to us that our country is indeed providential. That's not an accident. That's not luck. I think that's God saying, this nation exists by my design. And you and I have got to be committed to preserving it. So that's what Project 76 Standathon is all about. You can find out more about it by going to our website, standamerica.us. Standamerica.us. Our essential mission is to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and principles. Because Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And I know you love this country. You know I love this country. We don't want our country brought to desolation. We want our country to have exaltation. We want our country to be that shining city on a hill, not that historical cautionary tale or byword about a once great nation that collapsed in on itself because of internal moral decay. So we've got to lift up those values, those principles that our founding fathers bequeathed to us, which they derived from the word of God, and continue to promote those as the predominant values of our culture. So we're asking you to do three things, essentially. Pray for our country during this time. Of course, we ought to be praying for America all the time, of course. And that includes, by the way, President Trump and this administration, and that they have the wisdom and the insight and the energy and the ability to do what this country needs to have done according to God's plan and purpose for America. And pray for our organization, STAND. Pray for American Family Radio, too, because American Family Radio and the American Family Association are on the front lines of helping to preserve our constitutional republic. So pray for our organization, STAND, staying true to America's national destiny. Go to standamerica.us to learn more about this, standamerica.us. And then we're asking you to volunteer. Help us. We have people all across the country supporting us, but we don't have very many chapters, and we want to start establishing chapters. We only got two established so far, one in Arkansas and one in Arizona. We'd love to have a chapter where you are. And believe it or not, it's not that hard. Get in touch with us. We'll show you what you need to do so that you can begin to address the issues in your local community, because these cultural issues have to be fought right there on the ground in every single local community. This is not just a presidential issue or federal issue or congressional issue. This comes right down to the neighborhood issue, the community issue, the town issue, the city issue, the county issue. And we've got to be prepared to address these things at that level. And then whatever you can do to contribute to us, we'd appreciate it. I've suggested $1 a day for 76 days from July 4th to September 17th comes to only $76. But whatever you give to help us, we will appreciate, because we are committed to making sure that this nation remains the great nation that God intended us to inherit, and that we want to pass on. We want to bequeath it to our posterity, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, until Jesus comes. So anything you can do to help us would be much appreciated. And by the way, September 17th is going to be a big day. We're having a marathon standathon all day long, 10 hours of programming that day on our podcast to basically accentuate the importance of doing whatever we need to do in order to preserve our country. Now, there are a number of things that we're talking about, and of course, they touch on the issues that are in the news right now. So let's get to that, shall we? You know, I don't follow pop culture. I really don't. And it's not an age thing. And some people think it's age. No. Once I became a Christian, I stopped following that stuff. Not that I did much before, but once I became a Christian, I wasn't interested in secular music. I wasn't interested in pop culture anymore. I'm not interested in it. So this big issue now that's arisen over this girl, Sydney Sweeney, and I guess, is she an actress or a model, whatever she is? I don't know. See, I never heard of her before. But apparently she did a jeans ad. And the left is just going crazy because she did a play on words talking about jeans versus the jeans that she is advertising. And you know, I guess they're saying her blue eyes, her blonde hair, they're calling her a Nazi. Now, this is what I mean, folks. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. The left is trying to make everything racial. Everything. Now, I tell you, I've seen that jeans commercial more than I care to see it, frankly. And I'm going to try to avoid it because when they're talking about it, they just keep showing her buttoning up her jeans over and over. I mean, it's just like, and I'm thinking, this is what people are focusing on. They ought to be focusing on the fact that she is a terrible role model for young girls who are really being told, in effect, that what matters is how much of your skin you show and the willingness to let people see you putting on. I mean, and look, I'm not condemning the child, but it just, that's, it is the moral and spiritual issue that really ought to be focused on here. Not she's a Nazi because she's made a play on words and she's using jeans. And she's, I mean, that's such nonsense. And by the way, these are the same people who, if you bring up the vicious, racist, elitist, eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who believed that certain people were not worthy of being born and that you were better to kill them in the womb, whether they were black or Hispanic or just a person that she considered to be feeble-minded, regardless of the color of their skin, that she considered to be of such a background or coming from such a circumstance that you should not allow that person, that child, that boy, that girl to live. And just get rid of it. But you know, they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. The left won't talk about that. She was an open and obvious and self-professed eugenicist. But they won't talk about this young girl who, in my view, is just, she's just caught up in the popular world and the popular culture. And I guess she's famous, at least with some people. Like I said, I don't know who she is. I never heard of her before. Never saw her before. But, you know, they're all caught up on that because she made play on words with her genes, meaning genetics, and her and the genes she puts on. I mean, but these folks never, ever, ever lose an opportunity to turn something into a racial issue because they love to divide people. Now look, folks, this fight that occurred in Cincinnati, it's a similar situation. I've seen some of the video of the fight, and they're making it a racial issue, and some people are saying that, you know, they didn't really play it up much because it was black people attacking a white guy or white somebody. I couldn't really tell what the nature of the conflict was, and the woman got knocked out. I couldn't tell the race of the person who hit her. But here is what I think most needs to be said. People get into conflict sometimes, rightly or wrongly. And 99% of the time, it has nothing to do with race. But if the people who are in conflict happen to have different complexions or appear to be from different ethnicities, it is transformed into a racial issue. It may have nothing to do with that. Look, one of the things we're committed to doing is deracializing this culture in our country so we see each other as individuals and evaluate circumstances on their merit, not race. Back in a moment. We'll be right back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Love gives. Love seeks to bless. Love seeks to carry out the work and the will of God. That's an important truth to understand. You know, the world often will say, I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you give me money or all sorts of things. But genuine love isn't a love that says, I love you because. Someone says they love you, but they're always asking you for this and that, and they say, I love you, so you should do this for me. Again, that doesn't sound like love based on what the Word of God teaches us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, when we're evangelizing and doing the work of disciple making, we're loving people. Remember, the Word of God and the Spirit of God teach us to live a lifestyle of ministry, reaching out to a world that desperately needs to be touched by the love of God.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson in for the great Abraham Hamilton III. Brilliant young man. Happy to sit in for him. Look, folks, Jesus was always and is always right. If we want this country to have a future, we must end the incessant drumbeat of racial division that the left is obsessed with. I call it ROS, racial obsession syndrome. You know, I had about a month ago, where was I? My wife and I were coming from somewhere. Actually, I think we might have been coming from dinner, but anyway, we were on the highway. I went to change lanes. And as it turned out, there was a guy in my blind spot, and I didn't see him. Our cars didn't touch or anything, but he hit his horn. I spotted him and, of course, got back over in my lane. But, oh, my goodness, I fired him up. He was hot. He thought, for some reason, he thought I was trying to cut him off. Well, if I was trying to cut him off intentionally, I'd have kept going. But I didn't when I realized where he was. I had missed him. I just moved over. But that wasn't enough. I mean, he gave me the old salute, and you know, he just went off. And just, you know, I slowed down because I didn't want the guy to think I was trying to be in any conflict with him. And if we'd actually had an opportunity, I'd have apologized to him because I didn't know whether it was my fault or his, but I'd apologized and moved on. I'm not going to get into some conflict with somebody over something like that because I certainly didn't intend to try to cut him off or anger him on the road. He gets down about 100, maybe 150 yards ahead of me and gets off at an exit. Well, I finally catch up with him because he goes up going off the exit rather slowly. And as I'm passing him by on the exit, he reaches his hand out. I know you're thinking another suit. No, no. You know what he's saying? No, come over here. Come over here. Come on. Get off the exit. Get off the exit and come confront me. I just looked at him. I said, Lord, help him. Because he might have just gotten fired from his job. He might have just had an argument with his wife. He might have just had somebody do something terrible to him. He's looking for somebody to take it out on. And I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of making what is nothing into some big something and maybe changing his life and changing my life forever by being stupid enough to actually go get into a conflict with him. Now, it just so happens that this guy, based on what I could see at least, appeared to be an American of European ancestry. If I had actually been stupid enough, unwise enough, which I wouldn't be as a Christian, to actually engage that conflict with him, you know what? They would have made it a racial conflict. It had nothing to do with race. It had to do with the fact he thought I cut him off. And he probably thought I did it intentionally. People have conflicts. It is part of the human condition. And this effort to racialize every single thing is like a poison that they are injecting into our culture. And I, for one, frankly, refuse to buy into it. And, you know, I brought this up because I got to thinking about that today after reading and seeing the Cincinnati brawl and thinking to myself, you know, it's interesting. It never even crossed my mind that the conflict that this guy had with me, because I didn't really have one with him, but that he had with me was racial. It never crossed my mind. I didn't even think about that until on reflecting on that story and how they were spinning it and saying, you know, well, it was racial and you know, it was one group attacking another. I don't know what precipitated the thing. I don't know whether it was some kind of racial thing. I doubt it. Probably something over something else. But then once the groups congealed around each other, and they happened to be two groups, maybe two different families or groups of people, then you could paint it as a racial issue. Now it's all about race. Well, nobody really knows what the facts were that precipitated the whole thing. And I thought, I'd never even thought about that. That's where we need the country to get to a point where we simply don't think about that. We think about the human being, what that person maybe has in their heart, what's on their minds, what are they doing, what's up with them? Because my thought was, this poor guy's probably got some serious problems, and he wants to take it out on me. He wants to have a conflict with me because somebody hurt him, somebody upset him, probably long before he encountered me on the road. And that just became an excuse for him to just go off. But it had nothing to do with race. It could have been a little old lady on the road. It wouldn't have mattered the color of her skin. It could have been a teenager. It wouldn't have mattered the color of his skin. He was looking for somebody to have a conflict with. Human beings just have conflicts. It's the nature of our fallen condition. But you know, I read a scripture that really jumped out at me. And you know, it's ironic where that scripture is. It's actually Proverbs 19:11. You know why it's ironic? You know what Proverbs 19:11 says? The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. His glory is to overlook a transgression. And I thought, that's an ironic scripture because, of course, the 1911 is a pistol. You know, right? I used to own a couple of them. I don't own any 1911s now. Not quite for me, but I have. But isn't it interesting? This is a peace text. It says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. But instead, we got people who just, they can't wait not only not to overlook it, but to try to make it racial and try to make it heated and try to make it a big conflagration and try to make it something it never really was. Try to turn a conflict between two human beings who maybe have had a misunderstanding or rubbed each other the wrong way into a race riot. And that's sadly what the left and what I've come to affectionately refer to as the Democrat Party tries to do these days. Well, look, there's no future in our country for that. And we've got to stop it. We've got to end it. And that means you and I as Christians have got to be the ones to take a stand. You know, whenever people tell me that some racial, I say, well, really? How do you know? And often when they're examined, they don't know that. It's just somebody put that patina on it because it happened to be people from different backgrounds. And so people ascribed to them whatever the conflict was, ascribed it to race. But that's where they want to take us. That's where they want to keep us. And frankly, folks, we're not going. Thank you very much. We're striving for one nation under God, indivisible. So you can't divide us, with liberty and justice for all. Now, speaking of that particular issue, of course, we know that the left is trying to paint the president's immigration deportation efforts as racist, and they're not. He is simply trying to fulfill his duty to the American people and his oath to the Constitution of the United States to see to it that the laws are faithfully executed. Now, what about that don't they understand? Well, they don't want to understand it because they would much rather create conflict and bitterness and anger and hatred and division because they think that that serves them better. They think that that's their pathway to power. And when power is your idol, anything goes. The fact of the matter is, as I've said before, and I think it was on this program, on Abe's program, that somebody called me and said they didn't like the way I talked about this because I guess I didn't sound compassionate, but I'll say it again. If you're not here legally, you have to go. I mean, it's really just that plain and simple. You have to go. And what is hard to understand about that? You came here without authorization. You came here illegally. And now you must go back from whence you came. I mean, I think it's a tremendously compassionate move that the president is offering people the option to self-deport so that they can come back legally. And, I say, fine, take advantage of that opportunity and do it and come the right way. I mean, that's a break you really don't deserve, but it's being given. Take it. But those who don't take it, you got to kick them out. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. And I don't care what the color of their skin is. I don't care where they came from. I don't care what country they hail from. I don't care what their genes are. Okay. It is a matter of enforcing the laws and the sovereignty and the national security of the United States of America, which is the president's first responsibility. And it is our responsibility as citizens to expect, indeed, to demand that, because we also are stewards of this country. But oh, no, that's not, no. We got to make it a racial issue. Yeah, it's racial. You know, Lord help these people, because they really are just, they're so lost. And what they're really doing is committing societal suicide. But frankly, they don't care as long as they get to preside over the dead carcass. And I mean that. They don't care as long as they get to stand in the ashes as preeminent. They don't care that they reduce the country to ashes. They don't care how many American citizens are robbed, raped, killed, trafficked. They don't care how many people are harmed. They could care less. All they care about is that they end up in power. And if that's the end result, mission accomplished. That's one of the reasons why I love this country so much and admire who God gave us as a founding father. George Washington had the opportunity to be a king, and he wouldn't take it. He held power lightly as opposed to grasping it desperately, which is what the Democrats do, and frankly, some Republicans too. But he held it lightly and surrendered it easily. That's the kind of country we're supposed to be. But instead, we've got people who will do anything to get power and keep it. It is their idol. It is their God. And they will do anything to appease it. They will lay anything at the altar of this God that they worship, including the peace and tranquility and the prosperity of this nation. That's why we got to vote these rascals out. Because they should not get anywhere near power. They don't deserve to hold it, and they certainly don't deserve to keep it when they get it. I want to start taking your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Let me add one other thing before I come to the lines. This has really bothered me a lot. Macron, and now it looks like this Prime Minister of the UK, are threatening to recognize a Palestinian state. Well, there is no Palestinian state. It's a fiction. It's a fantasy. Presided over by whom? Hamas? A terrorist organization? But this is what they're threatening to do unless Israel, as if Israel is at fault for the war between Hamas and Israel. The last time I checked, on October 7th, year before last, Israel was viciously attacked in a surprise attack on civilians that killed some 1,200 people. It took many hostage, some of which are still being held hostage, and they refuse to let them go. Israel has not caused this war, and Israel is not causing any starvation of anybody. Israel is doing what they can to try to meet the humanitarian requirements that their own moral code holds them to. But of course, Hamas, being liars and terrorists and evil and wicked people, will twist anything they can to make it appear that all the problems in Gaza are the result of Israel's inhumanity. Israel has brought about starvation. Israel has brought about devastation. Israel has caused the problem. Hamas, they're just a bunch of innocent little terrorists just sitting there minding their own business, and big bad bully Israel has just attacked them. I mean, this is what the mainstream media would have us believe. I mean, how dumb, well, dumb. This is not dumb. It's diabolical. Let me not even give them credit by calling it dumb, because dumb would suggest that they're less morally culpable. It's not dumb. It's diabolical. Look, Harvard is offering to pay $500 million to the U.S. government for having allowed anti-Semitism to run rampant on the campus, and other universities are stepping up. Berkeley is another one. They are poised to pay a major fine for the same thing, for a situation that they allowed to happen in which these leftists actually restricted Jews and determined that there were certain portions of the campus that must remain Jew-free. Now, and they want to call President Trump a Nazi? They want to call this little model girl a Nazi? Who's behaving like Nazis? Well, when Macron recognizes, as he's threatened to do, a Palestinian state, I will remind you all, not that you need reminding, but maybe he does, that France is not exactly a country that we should look to as an example of moral courage, because when Hitler marched into France, they folded like a cheap suitcase. They were the very first to bow the knee to the Nazis and were complicit in rounding up and murdering Jews. You know, you would think that Macron, with that history in mind, would be a little more reluctant to bow the knee to really what is in effect a modern Nazi movement, which is Hamas. But apparently he seems only too willing to repeat history. And I can just say, Israel clearly is not willing to have history repeated against them. And God bless them for it. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by, folks. We'll be back to take your calls.
In a recent survey of 1,200 left-of-center American adults, 55% responded that assassinating Donald Trump could be justified. We're swimming in shark-infested cultural waters. Some are suffering from Christianophobia. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Please give today to help AFA keep equipping you and others to stand for Christ. Help us shine his light into our dark culture. Visit afa.net/warrior.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I would wager that would be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View. Weekdays, 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abe. Happy to be here. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for listening. Listen, we've got to restore America as God ordained it, a Judeo-Christian nation. We got to restore marriage and family as God designed it. One man, one woman, reproducing in holy matrimony. We've got to restore unity as God commanded it, which is one nation under God. We are all made in his image and his likeness and created by him. And we can't unify with people who deny these things. But I believe most Americans agree with these things. And this is the basis of our future unity. And this is what we've got to be faced. This is what we've got to focus on. Not tribalism and racialism and genderism and all these other isms, communism, socialism, Marxism. You got this guy up in New York, Mamdani, who did a press conference today talking about, oh, he really does support the police. Well, for years, he has been a detractor of our police officers. For years, he has vilified them. He's called them racist. He's called them homophobic. He's called them every name you can think of. He said they should be defunded. He said that they are a danger to public safety. He actually said that. And now all of a sudden, you know, I really appreciate the job our police officers do. He's a liar, is what he is. He's a liar. You know, it's just like what I said about Barack Obama when he said, well, I believe that marriage is a union between one man and one woman because I'm a Christian. I said he lied. He didn't mean it when he said it. And as soon as he thought he could, he changed his mind. Oh, I struggled with it. I wrestled with it. But now I've come to a different decision. Give me a break. I mean, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls. We've got Tracy in Arkansas. Tracy, welcome.
Good afternoon, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, good to hear from you.
You know, thank you. Earlier, when you were talking about deportation, and it doesn't matter what nation you come from, just right before that, I was just talking out loud saying it doesn't matter if you come from Australia or England or France or Germany or Cuba or Mexico. If you're here illegally, you've got to go. And I don't understand why the left can't understand that. I just pray that somehow they find some common sense, and you know what I mean. It makes no. I don't understand why they can't seem to figure that out.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for the call, and folks, let me give you the answer to that. They don't want to figure it out because it doesn't matter to them. That what matters to them is they think that all these people that they're bringing in here provide a pathway to hegemony over this country and power over this country. That's why they're giving them cell phones and hotel rooms and clothes and food and home loans and transportation and Medicaid and all of this stuff, because they're buying new voters. That's what they're doing. And that's why they don't care how many Americans are killed. They don't care how many women are raped. They don't care how many children are trafficked. That's irrelevant to them. Power is what matters. This is a way to get it. And they're willing to accept anything in order to do that, which is why they're apoplectic over Trump deporting these people, because Trump is deporting their future political plans. That's the way they view it. And unlike you and me, you know, I've said before, I would rather lose an election and maintain my integrity than cheat and give up my honor in order to win, because I've got to stand before God one day. Well, when you don't know God and you don't care about God and you don't have any ultimate morality, guess what? Winning is all that matters. So that's really the issue, Tracy. That's what they're up to. And very few politicians will say that. But somebody needs to keep saying that loud and clear so the American people can hear it and understand these people are really enemies of our country and enemies of the American people, because they don't care about us. What they care about is themselves and their own insatiable thirst for power. All right, let's go to Frank in Kentucky. Frank, welcome.
Bishop, I wanted to say that to you, I praise the Lord that you were avoided that situation on the road.
Amen.
Because you know, you don't know if that person might have had a weapon
That's
on
right.
him.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned about you gave a Bible verse about avoiding that type of situation.
Yeah.
So tonight you're able to talk about what's going on in the world and trying to encourage others to do the right thing. But if you face that person, you might not have been able to say that tonight.
Wow, you are so right, Frank. And of course, that's what the wisdom of God and the love of God does for us, isn't it? Because I wasn't fearing for myself. You know what I was really thinking about? I was thinking about, man, what happened to this guy? Why is he so, he's so self-destructive. He's so angry. He's so worked up. I wasn't about to buy into any of it, but I didn't leave the scene of that situation, drive by him angry and mad, and yeah, I should stop and fight him. I just felt sorry for him, frankly, because I know there was more to it than what he thought I did. People are bringing all kinds of baggage to those situations, and you're right. You stop and you participate with them, then you either become a perpetrator or a victim because you responded to all that junk that's in that person's heart. So thank God for his wisdom, because look, I'm going to readily admit, and thank you for the call, Frank, I'm going to readily admit, folks, before I was saved, I'd have happily cooperated with him. Now, that's a sad statement, but it's true. But praise God. You know that old song says, I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And it does not yet appear what I shall be, but I know when he shall appear, I will be like him, for I will see him as he is. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan in Mississippi. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I heard you talking earlier about that example of that road rage and how God became made racial. So
it would have become because he happened to be white, as they put it. And so if I had actually engaged with him, even though it had nothing to do with race, it would have been a racial issue.
Exactly. And I understand your point on this. However, I heard you going to talking about how the left usually makes things racial, correct?
That is true. That is true. Yes.
Yeah. So I have a question. So basically, do you think that the reason these people on the left are making things racial is not because they want downfall to the United States, but rather they're just being brainwashed and they just don't have the right access to media, and maybe they're just watching YouTube all day and it just connects to their fear part of their brain, and so they just go straight to racial as a part of coping with that fear. Do you think that's correct?
Well, Ryan, thank you for the call and thank you for the question. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We have some open lines. Here's the deal. I believe that there are a lot of rank and file people who fit the description that Ryan just gave. They're just kind of brainwashed and they're made to believe a whole bunch of junk. But I really believe that the elites know better. And by this, I mean, the elites know that, again, if you want to control people and if you want to have people keep you in power and support you, you must convince them that they are perennial victims that you are rescuing. See, that's why they can't control me, because I'm not a victim. I refuse to be a victim. How can I be a victim when I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me? But if they convince you that you're a victim and that you need to be rescued and they are your rescuers, well, now you can keep them perpetually bitter, perpetually angry, perpetually frustrated. You know, you can convince them, look, America's so racist. America's systemically racist, and the white people this and the white people that. And you just keep that going. And then when the time comes, even say for a person who's supposed to be a Christian to vote, they go in to vote and they're asked to vote for some person who supports killing unborn babies and supports so-called gender transition and supports trying to change the gender and inject hormones into kids before puberty and supports two men being married and two women being married. And you're supposed to vote for that person because, after all, though, they're going to look out for you because they're going to fight for racial justice. Well, in that case, okay, I can overlook all that other stuff as long as they're fighting for racial justice. And they're not fighting for racial justice. You said, do they want to bring America down? No, it's not that they want to bring America down per se, but they do want to fundamentally transform the country. And if that means bringing the country down in order to get that done, I think that that's okay with them. I think they would rather, for example, have had an economic collapse under Donald Trump than have had the strong economy we're experiencing, because that would have fed into their narrative and given them, again, another pathway for power. So they don't care what happens to you or me or how much we suffer. All they care about is that the end result is they are on top. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come back to the phones. Let's see. Let's go to Gina in Texas.
Yes, Bishop, it's so wonderful to hear you. I heard you this morning on Pastor Jeff's show.
Oh, wow. Great, Gina. Thank you.
It's been a great day, let me tell you. Real quickly, because I don't want to ever be in front of veterans trying to call you, and thank you for your service and all that you're doing, and my $76 is going in the mail.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Bishop. I just wanted to say that I'm a baby boomer. I was never taught anything about World War II when I was in high school or college. Mm. I learned it on my own because my father fought and came home, thankfully, in one piece, but a lot of didn't. A lot of men, brave men and women, did not. We need to understand what happened with that war. You're right about France. I mean, they were just total turncoats. I mean, they just, yep. You know, they did not have any kind of guidance or a truth to them. Two books real quickly that I have read that have really taught me a lot is Truman by David McCullough. He was the one, as you know, who actually did finally drop the bomb, mm-hmm. and also is responsible for reestablishing Jerusalem, 1948.
Right.
The other one, yes. The other one is The Last Lion, which is about Churchill. And that's an incredible book.
Well,
Gina, the other thing, yes, sir.
I'm almost out of time, but Gina, thank you so much for the call and thank you for the contribution. And look, I've read McCullough's Truman, but I haven't read the book on Churchill. But I'm glad you brought it up, because you all remember that when Barack Obama was elected president, one of the first things he did in the White House was to remove Churchill's bust. Had it not been for Churchill, England would have been in the same position France was in. Because Churchill was one of the lone voices saying, we can beat Hitler. We will not bow to him under any circumstances, no matter what. And you had Chamberlain and a bunch of others saying, oh, no, it's better to surrender. It's better to surrender and save lives. It's better to surrender. I mean, so, yeah, sounds like two good recommendations, Gina. Thank you. Okay, let's try to get, let's see, this is Shane in Iowa. Shane, welcome.
Hey, I'm surprised. I can't believe that I got on. This is my first time ever calling into any radio station. I'm going to be real quick. I don't have a question. Well, actually, I guess I do.
You'll have to be quick, though.
Yeah, I will. But I'm looking at the time. Actually, I got a stopwatch. So I just want to tell you, I miss hearing your voice. I used to listen to you years ago when I lived here in Louisiana. And I've been gone for a while. I'm back, and I actually turned the radio on hoping to hear you, and haven't. And so I just want to say you blessed my day today, being able to hear you, guest host.
Well, thank you, Shane.
And thank you so much for your spirit, your just the way who you are and the way that you are, and hopefully maybe my question is, do you see yourself ever coming back to the radio?
Well, look, that's up to the network. But I'll tell you what, if they ever needed me, and I do a podcast now, by the way, that airs it posts every Wednesday on AFR.net. But whenever they need me, just like now, I'm always going to be there because I love AFR and I love the American Family Association. They're doing great work. Glad to be a part of it. Well, look, that's going to do it, folks. I can't take any more calls because I'm out of time. But thank you all for the encouragement. And thank you all, as always, for listening and supporting our network. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.